Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church. It is Tuesday, October 20th in the year 2020, and we have assembled ourselves together tonight in the presence of God for this weekly Pastoral Connect Bible study and prayer. I am excited about being with you tonight, and I feel the anointing of God on this line. I feel the presence of God on the line. I was listening to some music just a little while ago of the saints of God rejoicing. And certainly it is an experience we have not been able to share together for a long time. But I'm so grateful to God that I've got access to the shout of victory. I've got access to the remembrance of victory. And I don't know if there's anybody on this line that can look back over your life and just think about the victory that God has given you. Think about the time of joy and rejoicing that God has ministered to your spirit, and hold on to that experience. Hold on to that memory that will springboard you into something that's about to come. Let's look to the Lord before we go any further. I just feel the power of the Lord. I feel the praise in my spirit. I feel the shout of victory welling up in my soul. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we honor your presence and we thank you tonight for your goodness and your mercy. It is because of your mercy that we are not consumed, because your compassions, they fail not. They are renewed every morning. Great is your faithfulness unto us. Oh God, no matter how we feel, you're still great. No matter what we're going through right now, you're still great. Hey God, we won't lose our faith in you, because our praise is tied to our faith. And by faith, we are trusting you. By faith, we are holding fast to your promises. By faith, we see the victory ahead. By faith, we speak those things that are not as though they are. By faith, we know that the worlds were made by things that are not seen. The invisible stepped into the realm of the visible, and by your mighty outstretched hand, you spoke a world into existence. You spoke creatures' life into existence. You spoke, Lord, and it happened. And tonight we ask that you would speak on this line by your spirit. Lord, speak right now. Somebody needs something to happen. Speak right now. Somebody is holding on and believing you that you are yet a God that answers prayer. And so tonight, meet us in our study and meet us in our prayer and remind us, Lord, as only you can, that all things are yet working together for our good, to them that love you, to them who are the called according to your purpose. You told us, Lord, in your word, if we love you, that we would keep your commandments, because your commandments are not grievous. And so, Lord, I thank you that there is the evidence of love. Hey, love has an evidence attached to it, more than just a word spoken, more than gifts on a holiday. Hey, your love has an expression tied to it. And so you have shown us love. And so you have called us into that same love, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so God bless us tonight. Hide us behind the cross. Use us as an oracle to speak words of life, your words alone. For you alone have the words of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord again, and good evening, everyone. We bless the name of God and we thank him for his grace. Grace is operating in your life right now. Favor is operating in your life. Somebody just thank him for favor. Hashatayarabosha. Woo! I know we're supposed to get into Bible study, but I'm feeling the presence of God right now. Somebody ought to just open your mouth right where you are and thank God for his favor. Oh, glory to God. Let's get into this word tonight. Tonight in this pastoral connect, hallelujah. If you want to put a title down for your notes tonight, our God is the God of battles. Our God is the God of battles. Glory to God. First thing I want you to understand tonight as we begin this lesson, praise the name of God, and the foundation of this is going to come out of Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Again, that is Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. And I need you all to open up your Bibles and get ready to do some reading. I'm not going to do all the reading tonight, and I need you all to have it ready. Praise the name of God. I know we've got ministers on the line. We've got missionaries on the line. We've got young people. We've got old people. We've got all people on the line. And so I want y'all to get your Bibles ready tonight. Praise the name of God, so you can be a part of this learning experience. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16 is the foundation verses for our lesson tonight. So let's start off by telling you this. Your God, our God, God is God everywhere. There is no place where God is not God. God is the God of the hills. God is the God of the valleys. God inhabits the hills, and he takes up space in the valleys. And because of this, we are never alone. He fills all space and time. And wherever God is in control. God is God everywhere. There is no place where God is not, and there is no place where he is not God. Wherever he is, wherever he is, he's God. He doesn't lose his identity because he walks into another room. He doesn't lose his stature because he goes to a place where there is, in some cases, perhaps somebody greater than you. And perhaps your importance is diminished by someone of greater importance. Well, there is no one of greater importance than our God. Wherever he is, he's God. And because he is everywhere, everywhere, God is in control. Psalms 139, verses 7 through 10. And I'm going to read that. Psalms 139, verse 7 through 10. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Glory to God. Psalms 139, verses 7 through 10. David made this declaration prefaced with a question. Where can I go to get away from God? Can't go anywhere. David wasn't looking to escape. He was making a statement of the omnipresence of God. And because he knew his God, and because he understood who his God was, he knew that wherever he was, that the hand of the Lord would lead him and that his right hand would secure him. Leading and security is the benefit of the redeemed. God will always lead you to victory. God will never lead you to defeat. His spirit will always lead you to victory. And because on the road to victory, there is often challenges that come into every one of our lives. David adds to this declaration. And he says, thy right hand shall hold me. David is secure in the leadership, and in the divine protection that is his from God. I'm talking to somebody right now. Security in divine leadership, security in divine protection. He knows the nature of his God, and he knows that no matter where he is, God is in control. Let's get into our key text tonight. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. You have the capability to unmute yourselves to participate in this portion of the lesson. And so I'm going to ask you to do that. I need readers to read one verse at a time, from verse 8 all the way down to verse number 16. And so I'm going to ask you to unmute yourselves and let's just start reading. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Let's begin reading. Somebody begin reading.
Then came Amalek and fought with
him. Sounds like somebody's got two devices on in the same place.
That's me.
Let's try it again.
Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim.
Thank you. Somebody else continue.
And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out. Fight with the Amalekites tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.
So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill.
And let's keep it going.
And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed.
Well,
but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun.
Verse 13.
And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword.
And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.
And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi.
Amen. One more verse to go.
For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you all for your participation in reading those verses. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. I want you to know that God knows how to win battles. God knows how to win battles. When we see this verse and this story unfold, Amalek came and fought with Israel. And Moses gave Joshua instruction as to what needs to happen And when Joshua did as Moses had said, everybody was in position. It is important to understand your position for victory. They were not out of place. They were in the place they needed to be. And in their places, victory was won. God has a strategy, and he will give you what you need to win the battle, because God knows how to win battles. Moses spoke to Joshua, and what I want you to see here is the interconnection between the people who are identified in this text. Moses, Joshua, chosen men, Aaron, and Hur. And when Moses gave Joshua instruction, Moses said, I'm going to stand on the top of the hill. I'm going to have the rod of God in my hand. And I want you to choose out men to go fight against Amalek. They would be fighting in the field in Rephidim. And Moses with Aaron and Hur would be on the top of the hill. Bible says that when Moses did what he needed to do, and Joshua did what he needed to do, and when Aaron and Hur did what they needed to do, that the people of God prevailed. Moses' hands were holding up the rod of God. I'd like to consider that the standard of God. Ah, glory. You got to hold up the standard. Come on, somebody, my God. And as long as the standard is held up, the people of God will prevail. It is when you lower the standard that the devil begins to win. I hope y'all are hearing me tonight. I'm trying to teach this thing. Woo! When Moses, and you know that as long as Moses' hands were up, the people of Israel prevailed. But when his hands got heavy and his hands begin to be let down, Amalek prevailed. What I love about this was that the people that were with Moses didn't just stand around idle, watching God's man, watching God's leader go through what he went through and did nothing in support. They got active and busy. The Bible says that Moses' hands were heavy, and when they saw it, they took a stone. They took a stone. Doesn't say that Moses said, go get me a chair, go get me a stone. They saw and they went into action, and their action restored victory. Somebody on this line, I don't know who I'm talking to, but you've got to take corrective action to restore victory. They took the corrective action by bringing the stone, and they allowed him to sit on the stone. And as he sat thereon, they stayed up his hands. Teamwork made this victory come to pass. And God put them in place strategically so that until the going down of the sun, Joshua discomfited Amalek. They defeated them soundly. And the Lord said, you got to make a permanent record of this, because there's going to come some others that are going to read this later on. He said, I need you to make a permanent record. Put it in the memorial book. God have mercy. This is why I tell y'all need to write. You need to have a journal. You need to have a book where you put your notes, your inspirations, what the Lord speaks to you, because you need to make a note of the revelation that God gives you, because that revelation is going to lead you to victory. The Bible says that Moses, that the Lord told Moses to write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. You've got to speak it into the ears of those who you have spiritual confidence in, because some people, they don't want to hear about your victory. Some people don't want to learn from your victories. But God knows how to win battles. There's some that are stubborn and stiff-necked, and they don't want to hear. But then there are some who are open to learning. And Joshua represents the spirit of willingness to serve and willingness to learn. Joshua didn't know everything, but he sure knew how to follow divine instruction. And every time he did it, God gave him victory. The Lord spoke to Moses. Make a note of this. Rehearsed it in Joshua's ears. In other words, remind him. We have to speak often of the victory that God has given us. There's somebody on this line. You haven't spoken of the victory. You've spoken more about your pain than your power. You've spoken more about your problem than your problem solver. You're talking to God about your problem, and you ought to be talking to your problem about your God. Moses was to instruct, or was to rehearse this, repeat it, speak of it to Joshua. And I believe that what this has prophetically for Joshua is that Joshua was going to be somewhere in his life where he was going to need to be reminded that God is a God of victory, that God knows how to win battles. And Moses was given a prophetic word to deposit it in Joshua's spirit. The repetition wasn't to be boring. It wasn't boredom. It wasn't plain repetition. It was power repetition. It wasn't nominal speech, but it was a phenomenal reminder that God knows how to win battles. Moses built an altar, and an altar is a place of worship. It's a place of sacrifice. And at the altar, there was an offering made, but he called it Jehovah Nissi. This is one of the revelation names of God in the context of him working on behalf of his people. He revealed himself to them as the God of victory. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. The Lord is our standard. As Moses held the rod, the standard of God, he held it up. It was the standard that demonstrated to the people that God was with them. And it's something to be said about holiness, y'all. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christian, but they ain't living holy. They're living on the border. God didn't call you to live on the border. He wants you to live in a place of victory. And we're getting ready. We're going to get there in this lesson tonight, because the text that is the foundational text is Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. But I'm taking you somewhere, and the Holy Spirit is showing me how these pieces are coming together. Even though I didn't see it as he was giving it to me, I'm starting to see it now because I'm operating in it. Can I tell you something? When you operate in what God gives you, you will understand it and you'll see his hand. You can't see this if you are resistant and questioning God. And sometimes God will lead you into a place that's a difficult place for you to be. It's difficult for you to be there, but it ain't difficult for God, because God is in control. Oh, God. The thing I want to tell you about this before we move off of this text is about this permanent record. This is very important, because once God defeats your enemy stays defeated. Don't you give the devil back a victory that God has won for you. Lord, have mercy. Write it down. Rehearse it. Remind yourself. This is what God told Moses to do. Remind Joshua. Remind him of this victory, because I want him to remember that I know how to fight. I know how to win a battle. Don't give the devil back a victory that the Lord has won for you. When God defeats your enemies, keep the enemy defeated. God knows how to win battles. Let's move on. Chronicles chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12 through 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12 through 24. I want you to write that down. God never loses a battle. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12 through 24. God never loses a battle. I want you to say that out of your mouth. And I know that I cannot hear you, and I don't need you to unmute yourself for this, but I want you to speak this out of your mouth as you're hearing these words tonight. God never loses a battle. God never loses a battle. We're going to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 12 through 24. Now, I'm going to need some readers to read tonight, and I'm going to ask you to read 3 verses apiece so we can move it along a little quicker. 3 verses apiece in the name of the Lord. Again, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning at verse 12 through 24. Okay, readers, come on. Let's get through this.
Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against the great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, and with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation.
Very good, Sister McCollum. You did good with those names. God bless you. Somebody else pick it up, verse 15 through 17.
And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thou said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you."
All right. Somebody else, 18 through 20.
And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of Kohathites, and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoah. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.
All right.
And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endured forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten.
Amen. One more verse.
For the children of Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another.
My God. And somebody else take the last verse, please. One more verse. Somebody pick it up. Verse 24.
And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped.
Please say those last three words one more time, Daniel.
And behold, they were
dead. The last three words in the verse.
The last three words of the verse?
Yep.
And when Judah?
No, the last three words of that verse.
Earth and none escape, dead bodies fall into the earth. Oh, I was right?
That's it. And none escaped.
And none escaped.
Say that one more time, son.
And none escaped.
Say that one more time.
And none escaped.
I want somebody on this line to understand that God never loses a battle. We see a very familiar text, particularly because this is the foundational text for our theme for this year. All I see is victory, out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. So this is very familiar to us. And for everybody else on this line, if it's not that familiar to you, I want it to become as familiar to you as your name. I want you to understand this text, because this text speaks to us of how God never loses a battle. Jehoshaphat made a plea to God, and we know how the enemy came up against Jehoshaphat and the people of Jerusalem and Judah. They came to destroy them. They came and they outnumbered them. There was more against them than they had in their army. And the Bible speaks to us that in the midst of this conflict, as the enemy is preparing to do them in, the Spirit of God moves upon Jehaziel in the congregation of the people. And Jehaziel speaks by divine inspiration to the king and to all the people. And what he says is that for them to not be afraid or discouraged or confused by reason of this great multitude. Don't get confused about this. The battle is not yours, but God's. This is God's battle. I need somebody to open your mouth and say that and put it even in your notes. This is God's battle. This is God's battle. This is God's battle. Hallelujah. Jehaziel speaks under divine inspiration to encourage the people of God. And then he says to them, this is what you're going to do. See, this is what I love about God. God doesn't give us suggestions. He gives us instructions. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody in this line. God doesn't give you suggestions. He gives you instructions. And your victory is tied to you following divine instruction. He says, you're not going to need to fight, but you need to get in position. Hallelujah. You don't need to fight, but you need to be engaged. You don't need to fight, but you need to be in position. Again, this text, this is another text that speaks concerning position. Somebody on this line, it needs to hear position twice, because this is the second time that position comes up. Set yourself speaks of position. Stand ye still speaks of being calm and being confident and see the salvation of the Lord. This speaks of expectation. Set, stand, see. Set, hallelujah, stand, see. The Holy Ghost is talking to somebody, and I hope you're getting this right now. This revelation is coming to you. You shall not need to fight. So there's a shall not, which means you don't have to do this, but the other stuff is what you got to do. Set, stand, see. The Lord is going to be with you. Somebody is facing something tomorrow, and the Holy Ghost has given me this to you because you're going to be facing something tomorrow. And the Holy Spirit wants you to know the Lord will be with you, because the Lord never, God never loses a battle. This battle belongs to God. Okay, Jehoshaphat bows his head. Once he gets the word, he immediately goes into worship. Another worship response. I hope you all are seeing the connections here between worship and winning. Oh, God help me, Holy Ghost. There's a connection between those who worship and those who win. There's a correlation here. Can I say this? Those who worship will win. Hallelujah. Worshippers are winners. The Lord is looking for them. The Lord is looking for a winner. Hallelujah. He's looking for somebody who wants to be a winner. You want to know how to be a winner? Learn how to be a worshiper. The Bible says that the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. Before this night is over, somebody needs to give God a shout of victory. They need to give him a shout of praise. And I want you to know that there is no shout of praise that God won't turn into a shout of victory. There is no shout of praise that God won't turn into a shout of victory. So you might as well praise him for your victory. Oh, God, have mercy. The Bible says that they got in position. He consulted with the people. He got singers that were appointed unto the Lord, and they praised the beauty of holiness. Here comes that standard again, y'all. I want you to see there's correlations in these texts. And there's a precedence that's being set here. Holiness is connected with victory. They praise the beauty of holiness. Holiness is a beautiful thing. Sin is a reproach. It's ugly. It deforms. Sin deforms. It takes the thing that's beautiful and it makes it ugly. Holiness beautifies. Holiness beautifies. Stop trying to be, You know. I mean, some people may use these products, and I don't have nothing against these products per se. But if you tried some holiness, maybe you wouldn't need Mary Kay. If you tried some holiness, maybe you wouldn't need Avon or whatever else they're selling these days in terms of the cosmetic area. Now, I know that our African-American folks spend a lot of money on beauty products. Lord have mercy. Try a little holiness. No, don't try a little bit. Try a lot of holiness. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. Salvation is from the Lord. The Lord is holy, and salvation makes you holy. And holiness beautifies. My God, my God. They began to praise. The Lord set up ambushments, and the people that came out against the people of Israel turned against themselves. And they fought each other till they destroyed each other. The Bible says, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked out into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth. And as Daniel repeated 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, none escaped. Don't you tell me that God loses battle. God never loses a battle. Make a note of that. He never, never, never loses a battle. Let's go to number 3. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 18. I'm not going to be able to let y'all read all of this tonight, but I want you to take a note of it. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 through 18. You know, we got to read this one. We got to read this one. I'm sorry. If you got to go, you got to go. But I got to get this out of my spirit. I have to deliver my soul. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 18. I'm sorry, verse 8 through 18. Again, this is 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 through 18. I need some readers. Take 3 verses apiece. Let's get through this. Come on. Somebody mentioned to me that they couldn't unmute themselves, and I just wanted to send them a note. Go ahead, Sister Cherise, you can begin reading that, and that person can come on after you. Thank you.
Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the Lord of Israel and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?"
And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dotham." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about.
And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host come past the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
Amen. One more verse, verse 18, somebody.
Okay.
You can take it, some a couple.
And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha.
Okay. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 through 18. God is never caught off guard in a battle. God is never caught off guard in a battle. You can't surprise God. Let me tell you what God's doing in this text. God will use the prophetic voice to expose the plan of your enemies and secure you before them. God will use the prophetic voice to expose the plan of your enemies and secure you before them. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 through 18. You got to understand here, this text shows us the king of Syria who was fighting up against Israel. And he was putting a plan together to go and attack them, saying, in such and such a place, I'll set up my camp, blah, blah, blah. In other words, this is the plan that I'm going to put together, and I'm going to go against Israel. The Bible says, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place. Lord, have mercy. I need to repeat that. Beware that thou pass not such a place. This is the prophetic warning. This is the prophetic warning. This is a prophetic warning. Because that's where the enemy is. That's what the prophet Elisha said to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel did what the man of God told him to do. He heeded the warning. And the end of verse 10, the last clause says, and he saved himself there not once nor twice. You have to learn how to heed the prophetic voice that God uses to speak to you. Your Holy Ghost-filled pastor is God's prophetic voice to the congregation. Are you listening? Are you listening? The Bible says that the king of Syria was totally ticked off by this exposure, and he felt that it was someone in his camp that was telling the king of Israel the secrets. One of his servants said, nope, we're not doing this. But there's a prophet in Israel telling the king of Israel everything we discuss in private. There's a prophet to whom the mind of the enemy king is being revealed. God is revealing the enemy's mind, the enemy's plan to expose the enemy and to secure his children. The king of Syria said, oh, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut off the prophetic voice. Y'all have to understand how important it is for you to pray for your pastor. You have to understand how important it is for you to hear the prophetic voice of Holy Ghost-filled leadership, pastoral leadership. Don't ever take Holy Ghost-filled pastoral leadership for granted. The king of Syria said, let's cut off that voice. And so he sent out a hit squad. He sent out an army to go and to get that man. Horses, chariots, and a great host. They come past the city. Can you imagine? They come past the whole city of Dothan. They surrounded the city so that none could escape. There was no escape for the man of God. No escape. Gehazi gets up early in the morning, goes forth to take care of the animals. And when he gets out there to see, take care of the animals, he sees that the whole city is surrounded by the Syrians. He wakes up Elisha in fear, paralyzed, and asks the question, what in the world are we going to do? Elisha knew who was with him and the fact that God never gets caught off guard. The prophetic voice that was used to warn the king of Israel would now be turned to speak prophetic and powerfully concerning the defense of the instrument. God will always protect his instruments. Don't you ever worry about obedience to God and how it might make you seem to others. When God uses his instrument, he will protect his instrument. Elisha began to pray. He told the young boy, he said, don't be afraid. They that are with us are more than they that be with them. The young boy couldn't see it. The young man couldn't see it. He could not see what the prophetic eye saw. He could not see what the prophetic voice was about to unfold. And Elisha prays, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And the Lord opened his eyes, says the text, the young man saw. The young man saw what was already there. The problem was he couldn't see it the first time because he was afraid. Fear will blind you. Fear will blind you. But God is never caught off guard. He will be right there. The mountain was filled with horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. So the enemy was around Elisha, but Elisha's forces surrounded the enemy. And look at what Elisha does. The prophet speaks concerning vision twice. On the one hand, he asks God to open the eyes of the young man. And then he turns around as it relates to the enemy. And he said unto the Lord, to smite this people, I pray thee with blindness. And the Lord did it. He did it according to the word of the instrument. This is why you got to stay. This is another text that underscores the importance of holiness in victory. When you are living saved, when you are living holy, God will back up the word you speak. Jesus said, you can speak to mountains and mountains are going to remove. They're not going to remove just because you quote scripture. Because the devil can quote scripture. It ain't about quoting scripture. It's about living scripture. It's the living word that has power. Oh, God have mercy. It's the living word. It's the living word. It's the living word. You must become the living word. You must become the living word. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to become Jesus. Don't get it twisted. But I'm saying that this word has got to be more than in your mouth. It's got to be in your life. It's got to be in your steps. Ordered steps, y'all. Come on. Of course, it's got to be in your mouth because out of the, but it's going to be found in your heart first, because it can't be in your, it can't be in your mouth and not in your heart and work. It doesn't work that way. It works by being in your heart. And I'm going to say this again. You have to become the word alive. When the word takes root in your spirit, it makes you like it. And you are living, oh, kaya naboshaya. Woo! You are living word. You are not the word. You are not the logos. You're not the rhema. But you are the reflection. Did you hear what I'm saying? I said, you're not the rhema. You're not the logos. But you are the reflection. So that when the devil sees you, he needs to see God. When demons see you coming, they need to feel God coming. Hallelujah. You remember the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts? They had, they were possessed. There was a man that was possessed by demons, and they went about trying to command the demon to come out of the man. And they went and they began to try to cast the devil out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached. They were doing it third hand. They didn't have a relationship with God. They were talking about somebody that they heard about. It's like me saying, I bind you in the name of that, in the name of that man that I heard Wilbur Jones preaching about. I bind you in the name of that man that I heard Apostle Wilbur Jones preaching about. I may have known Apostle Wilbur Jones, but I don't know the man that he's preaching about. That's what this son and Sceva situation was. I'm so glad I know the man that Apostle Wilbur Jones preaches about. And the only name I need to holler is Jesus. Somebody ought to write that. You need to write that down in your notes, Jesus. Write it in capital letters. Write it in capital letters. Whew. The last one I need to give you tonight, Joshua chapter 5, verses 10 through 15. You're going to have to write this down, and I'm going to talk this one out to you. Joshua chapter 5, verse 10 through 15, and then chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, 15 through 16, and 20. I'm going to say that again so you can have it. I'm going to put it in the chat as well. Joshua chapter 5. Verses 10 through 15, then chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, 15 through 16, and verse 20. So Joshua chapter 5, verses 10 through 15. Okay, so the children of Israel, they are camped in Gilgal. They kept the Passover, and they eat of the old corn of the land. And the next day was going to be the day after with the Passover. And something powerful happens here. This is why I went to chapter 5. This is why I believe the Lord led me to chapter 5, verses 10 through 15. Because there is an ending of the manna. And I don't know, I don't know how many of you are familiar with this aspect of the experience of the people of Israel. The scripture says that the manna ceased. Now that's important for you to note, because manna was wilderness food. God have mercy. Manna was the food of their sojourn in the wilderness. And as long as they were there, manna was provided daily. You know how they were told, take only as much as you need for the day. Don't store it up overnight, except before the Sabbath. They weren't supposed to keep it overnight. And of course, there were some hard-headed Israelites. They kept it overnight. You know, somebody is going to always do what they ain't supposed to do. God help the saints. Somebody is going to do what they're told not to do. And it turned into worms. It basically turned the thing that was meant to sustain, turned into what the thing that was meant as an evidence of God's sustaining grace, turned into the evidence of disobedience. The thing that was meant to bless turned into something that reflected disobedience. There's a cost to being disobedient. This is why it makes no sense to disobey God's word. It doesn't make a bit of sense to walk in disobedience to the will of God. But people gonna do what they're gonna do, right? The devil is a liar. I'm speaking to people who are walking in victory. I want to teach you how to walk in victory, not to walk in your flesh. You already know how to do that. You were born with that nature. And you have to learn, you have to unlearn that and relearn and learn how to walk in the power of what you have. And so I'm talking to the new creation reality in you. And I know that the old man is still kicking around trying to take dominion, but sin has no dominion over us. We're not under law, but we're under grace. So here we go. This Joshua text. Oh yeah, this Joshua text, mark this down. God never wastes a battle. God never wastes a battle. Okay, so here we go. Manna is ceasing, and they're about to come into Canaan. And the Bible said that they were going to eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. No more manna. No more manna, because they were coming out of the wilderness. They were going into the land of promise, and they don't need manna anymore. When God moves you from a wilderness experience and begins to put you in a place of promise, you've got to learn how to let the wilderness stuff go. Some folks are holding on to wilderness stuff. They're holding on to that wilderness experience. They're holding on to the things that speak of the past. And you got to let go of those things, because God has something more for you. Your victory is taking you forward. Victory never takes you backward. Victory takes you forward. Manna comes to an end. The fruit of the land of Canaan is theirs. And the Bible says that it came to pass that when Joshua was at Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or our adversaries? And this is what this visitor said: nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. Now, the Lord's host speaks about the angels, the angel army, and we know that the captain of the host is God. He is the God of the angel armies, the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Woo! The Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. He is the King of glory. Come on, my Bible students. And so what you have happening here with Joshua in this transitional experience is he is encountering God. And we see here an incredible transition of leadership and the validation that comes from God. This visitor says to him, Joshua falls down and worships. I cannot tell you enough how worship, the spirit of a worshiper, you need to develop a worshiping spirit. because your worship is going to be connected with you winning. Joshua falls on his face and worships. There was something about that voice and that personage. He didn't need to hear no more. He got in the right position. Again, position, 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 position. He got in position. He began to worship and he said, okay, my Lord, what do you want me to do? Tell me what you want. The captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Doesn't that sound familiar? This was the exact same conversation that Moses had when God was about to shift him into the position of victory. Take off your shoes, for the ground that you stand on is holy ground. And God sent Moses back into Egypt to tell the authorities there, let my people go. Here, God is speaking to Joshua. Joshua does what God tells him to do. And Joshua is given divine instruction. Y'all know the story, how that Jericho was tight. The walls were big, the thick, and impregnable. In other words, nobody can breach the walls of Jericho. They were famous for their ability to protect the city. And the walls of all the walls of a city in this time, you have to understand, they were very important, because it was the walls that protected the people on the inside. And so if your walls were not strong, you really didn't have good defense. Y'all remember when the walls of Jerusalem were burned and destroyed, and Nehemiah went back to help to rebuild the walls, et cetera, and rebuild the city? Well, walls mattered a lot. They were the protection for a city. And Jericho's walls were the best. They didn't come any better than Jericho. But Jericho's walls didn't know God. They might have been challenged by other nations, but they were never challenged by God. Y'all know the story, how God gives Joshua the instructions. He walks around the city one time each day. Everybody be quiet. And here comes another thing about being quiet and about following instructions. Sometimes God will give you, he will give your pastor a prophetic voice to you to tell you that you shouldn't do a thing. And some people are uptight when their pastors say, I don't think you should do this and I don't think you should do that. And sometimes pastors, even though they know that it's not good, sometimes they're reluctant to say stuff to folks because sometimes, you know, they don't want to hurt a person's feeling. They don't want a person to feel that they're not thinking about them or that they're being insensitive. You've got to understand, when your pastor tells you some direction and it doesn't align, it doesn't line up with what you want, it's not because your pastor doesn't love you. As a matter of fact, it's because your pastor loves you. The pastor is supposed to give you divine instruction, supposed to give you what God is giving him to share with you. This is a sacred trust, and it's not a trust that is accommodating, but it's a trust that's transformative. Yo, God, have mercy. Your connection with your pastor is not for your convenience, it's for your growth. And sometimes your pastor is not going to be your friend, but you're going to survive. Just like sometimes in life, parents can't be your friend. Some people say, my parents, one of my best friends. Well, as long as that doesn't compromise your parent being a parent, because whether or not your parent is your friend, they're still your parent. And children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You're supposed to obey your parents. God has given you parents. And some people say, well, you know, they don't have the Holy Ghost, so I don't have to obey them. I don't agree with that. As long as they don't tell you to do something that's against God's word, you're supposed to obey your parents. The scripture says, obey them that have the rule over you. And until you get your own, until you're out on your own, your parents have rule over you. Amen, somebody. And you have to understand the proper order of headship. Wives are to submit to their own husbands in everything. That's what the Bible says. To submit to your husbands in everything. That's God's will. And husbands are supposed to love their wives like Christ loved the church, period. You know, you don't love them because they're doing right, because that's not how God loves you. God loves us when we've done right or when we've done wrong. As a matter of fact, we can never get the Holy Ghost if God only loves us when we do the right thing, because we were born wrong. We were born in sin. That's wrong. Sin is wrong. We were born that way. But here we go back to Joshua. God gives Joshua divine instructions. And let's put it in context. He worshiped, and the Lord, Joshua had to come to a point where he heard from God for himself. Moses, my servant, is dead. This is what goes on in chapter one of Joshua. Moses is dead. No more Moses. No more Moses. And now Joshua, this is why, hear me now, let's go back to the foundation text in Exodus chapter 17. Here is where you can now see why Moses was told to rehearse this word in the ear of Joshua. You have to rehearse the word in Joshua's ear, because Joshua is going to come to a point in his life where he's going to have to know how to hear for God for himself. And here it was. Joshua, the Lord told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And so it's Joshua's turn to lead the people to a greater victory. He leads the people around the walls of Jericho. Day one, no noise. Everybody walking, no noise. Everybody walking, no talking. 6 days, they do that. Seventh day, they're told that the priests will bear the ram's horns, the trumpets. And on the seventh day, they're going to come past the wall seven times. And on the seventh time, the priests will blow the trumpets. And the Bible says that when they follow these instructions, it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. In the beginning of this lesson tonight, I told you about your victory praise. And I told you that your victory praise is turning, I mean, your pray, your shout of victory is going to turn into a shout of, your shout of praise, help me, Lord, your shout of praise is going to be turned into a shout of victory. And when you give God praise, you need to shout because the victory is yours. And here Joshua tells the people, shout with a great shout, the wall of the city will fall flat, and everybody's going to run forward. They came to the seventh time around on the seventh day, and the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. And the Bible says that when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, they gave a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, and the people went up into the city. They went up into the city. They went up into the city. Joshua, this conquest lets us to know that God never wastes a battle. What do you mean, Pastor Michael? Well, we've seen God in several battles. Tonight, we've gone through a couple of them. God won them all. But there was something about this battle that was different. The thing about this battle that was different was that the walls of Jericho were used to keep people out. The walls of Jericho were there to keep Israel from moving forward. But what God did when Israel followed divine instruction is that God took what was meant to keep them out and used it as a ramp to bring them into the city. Physics would insist that if the walls fell, that the walls should have fallen outward. In other words, that the walls should have fallen on the Israelites. But God is greater than physics, because instead of the walls falling outward, they fell inward. And God used it as a means of bringing his people in. What the devil meant for evil, God is turning it around for your good. I don't know who I'm talking to on this line tonight, but I'm believing God right now that he is showing you that he is the God of battles. He knows how to win battles. He never loses a battle. He is never caught off guard in a battle. And he never wastes a battle. I got to take y'all into prayer. I've kept y'all a little longer in the lesson, but I got to pray with you tonight. Bow your heads, everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you right now that no walls can keep your power out. Nothing that the enemy has can keep you, can keep us from being blessed by you. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. I thank you right now for showing us in your word, for taking us in your word, for giving us an example in your word, for recording these events in your word so that we might know that you are the God of battles. I thank you that there's no place that we can be where you're not. And there's no place that you are that you're not God. You are God everywhere. Hallelujah. There is no place where you're not God. And even now, we thank you for being in control. You're in control of our lives. You're in control of our health. You're in control of our heart. You're in control of our thoughts. Lord, we surrender these things to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ tonight, I come against every hindrance that comes up against your people. I thank you tonight for the battle lessons. Hallelujah. The battle lessons that you have given us. I thank you, oh God, for the revelations you have shared with us in the midst of the battle lessons. I thank you, Lord God, for helping us to overcome the obstacles and overcome the enemies that come before us to stop us from moving forward. Those enemies that came before us to eat up our flesh, how they stumbled and fell. I thank you right now, oh God, for being a God that answers the prayers of your people. I thank you that even tonight, if there's any sick amongst us, Lord God, we're praying over them now. And even though we may not be with them physically, Lord God, I'm believing somebody's got oil in their house. Hallelujah. Somebody's got blessed oil in their house. And tonight, Lord God, we believe tonight that even with the anointing of the oil, that your presence will be felt, that the anointing will destroy yokes. And so tonight, Lord, release a fresh oil on the line right now. Somebody may not have oil in their home. They may not have a bottle of oil in their cupboard. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking that you would release an oil on the line. Somebody needs the oil of the Lord. Somebody needs the healing oil to flow. And Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would release the oil. Hallelujah. Open up a window from heaven and pour out oil on somebody on this line. Somebody's Tayanabo Shanda. Hey, God, they need a release of oil. They need fresh oil. El Tayanamosaya. And even in the midst of our worship, even in the midst of our praise, Lord God, release some oil. The oil of joy. Hallelujah. Release the oil, oh God. We're coming together tonight to overcome hindrances. And we thank you, Lord, that you told us that whatsoever we shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever we shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And you told us, if any two of us shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for us. Oh God, tonight, Lord God, let it be done. Hallelujah. We're coming together in the spirit of agreement. We're coming together in agreement with your word. Lord God, your word has already gone forth out of your mouth. And tonight we declare, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that a new unity would manifest amongst our congregation. Lord, you tell us here that we can overcome obstacles by coming together. And so tonight, Lord God, renew us as a congregation in unity. Renew us, Lord God, in unity. Everyone on this line with a commitment to congregational unity. Oh, God, if we come together, we can do anything. If we come together, we can overcome the enemy. If we touch and agree, we can come together and you will respond. Lord, restore unity in our friendships. Restore unity in our God-honoring relationships. Restore unity in our marriages. Restore unity in our families. Oh God, the devil knows that when we come together, we cannot be stopped. And he will try his best to bring us apart. But the devil is a liar. Lord God, let your people be one. Hallelujah. Jesus prayed this prayer. Hallelujah. Even in John 15, Lord God, that we would be one, even as he and thee are one. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, let there be a restoring of unity. Lord God, we know we can overcome the enemy when we fight together, when we stand together, when we pray together, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now because you told us that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we take you at your word. We put our hands, hallelujah, we lift our hands before you. But Lord God, we know that our hands have to be holy. We have to have clean hands. Oh God, Lord God, we ask tonight that you will do something with our hands. We hear the word saying, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Lord, we want clean hands tonight. Hallelujah. Lord God, we want holy hands. Hallelujah. We don't want dirty hands. We don't want filthy hands. We don't want sinful hands. But Lord, we want holy hands, so that when we lay hands on the sick, that the sick will recover. Somebody tonight, Lord, they need to lay hands on themselves. Hallelujah. We may not be together physically, but tonight we're thankful that we are believers, and we lay clean hands. We lay holy hands even on ourselves. Oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, somebody is dealing with fear in their heart. Somebody is dealing with doubt and unbelief. But tonight, Lord God, we thank you that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so tonight, Lord God, I thank you that you are releasing your people. Fear has no grip. Fear has no place. Doubt and unbelief got to go, because we bless you and we're thankful, and we know him whom we have believed. And we are persuaded that you are able to keep what we commit unto you against that day. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Ghost on the inside. I thank you for the Paracletos. I thank you for the helper on the inside. I thank you, Lord God, for the seal that you put upon us, the seal of the Holy Ghost. You're going to keep that which we commit unto you against that day. And while we're waiting for that day, Father, we pray that you would release the gifts of healing. Hallelujah. That your people would know that healing flows from the top. Healing flows from the throne of grace. Lord, somebody needs healing. Somebody needs a breakthrough. Somebody needs their gifts stirred. And tonight, in the name of Jesus, stir it up, Lord. Stir them up in their mind. Stir them up in their heart. Stir them up to know that they've got an anointing. The anointing that breaks yokes. The anointing that's released when prayer is lifted up. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. We lift up a praise to the King of glory. We lift up a praise to the King of our lives. And so tonight, Lord, we commit all things into your hand. We won't be afraid. We won't be dismayed by reason of the great multitude, because the battle is not ours, but the battle is yours. I thank you tonight. We set ourselves, we stand and we see. You've given us your word to overcome the hindrances. You've given us your word to overcome the obstacles. And tonight we declare victory in the house. Victory in the house. Victory in the house. Victory in the house. We bless you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy that follows us all the days of our lives. And we declare that we shall live in the house of the Lord for forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Somebody give God a praise right now. Would you unmute yourselves and let's give God some praise. Let's fill this line, Lord God, with the voice of victory. Let's fill this line with the voice of victory. Let's fill this line with the voice of victory. Victory is in your house right now. Victory is meeting you right at your door. Victory is knocking. Victory is knocking. Victory is knocking.
Thank you for mercy and grace.
Open the door to
favor in the name of Jesus.
Will you open your heart to victory? Will you I want to thank God tonight for his move and for his presence, for his word and for his witness. Tonight, our precious First Lady, Tania Michael, has words of testimony she wants to briefly share in Jesus' name. Lady Tania Michael.
Praise the Lord. Truly, I glorify the name of Jesus. I was not able to be with you on today because I had an interview for a clinical psychotherapy doctoral program. And I'm telling you, for the past 4 or 5 weeks, I've been studying for this interview. I have been laying before the Lord. And, you know, when you are faced with opposition and when you are faced with things, it's going to bring you into a place of uncomfortability. And when God wants to take you someplace, he's going to stretch you. And he's going to stretch you even beyond the place where you believe that you're able to go. But I'm just so grateful to God that if we just trust him, he knows the way that we take. And I just want to encourage you all not to be afraid to push forward out of your comfort zone. I just want to encourage you on tonight not to be afraid to go into places where you've never been before, because the Lord has victory for his people, even in the midst of a pandemic. And yes, I have to admit, I was extremely nervous before this interview. I have to admit, I did ask a few people to pray for me. I have to admit that I've been reading books and I have been studying and I have been just doing the necessary work. And when I got on the interview on tonight, they asked me one question. And when they asked me this one question, and what's so interesting, Zoe said, "Mommy, don't worry about it. They're going to ask you one question, and the answer that you're going to give them, they're going to say, wow." And when I tell you exactly what my daughter prophesied on tonight, that when I gave them the answer to the one question, at the end of that one question, they said, wow. They said, your supervisor deserves a raise. Woo! And when I tell you in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that they have had applicants from around the world, woo, from every place on this earth, woo, from the East Coast to the West Coast, from places outside of this country. And they asked me, they said, well, do you have any questions? And I asked them a question. I said, well, can you please just give me an idea of what kind of candidate you're looking for? What is it that you hope your candidates can bring to the table? They said, to be quite honest, we're looking for you. And we're looking, woo, for candidates like you. And I just want to glorify the name of Jesus. God is a prayer answering God. And sometimes the enemy comes in with fear. And sometimes the enemy comes in with, you can't do it. But I promise you that God wants to stretch you to be able to bring glory unto himself. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I just want to praise him on tonight. Hallelujah. They said that I will receive an official response in the next 3 to 4 weeks, because they have so many candidates, hallelujah. But they said, you are such a promising candidate, hallelujah. And they're not even supposed to tell you that at the end of the interview. But I, by faith, thank God, woo, for entrance into the doctoral program of the clinical psychotherapy pastoral supervision division. Glory to God. And that I will have my doctorate degree within the next 18 months. Woo! And I say hallelujah, all to the glory of God, that God is able, hallelujah, that God is a restorer, and God promises, and he will answer his promise. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Tonight, we are ecstatic behind the mighty move of God. Even while the lesson was being taught, God was fighting battles. He is the God of battles. He is the God of victory. He is the God that is everywhere, and never, ever is he never God. And wherever he is God. He is God in control. Thank you for being a part of our teaching experience and teaching ministry tonight. We pray that the Lord blessed you through the prayer and through the taught word, and even through the testimony that was shared by our precious First Lady, the soon-to-be Dr. Tania M. Michael. Father, now we commit ourselves into your hands. We pray, Lord God, that through wisdom, we would apply the words that we have heard, and that as we do that, we will experience your power released afresh in our lives. Into their hands we commit ourselves, spirit, soul, and body. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless and good night.